Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. If you guys want to get at us today on the text line, the First Advantage text line, you certainly can. 888-530-0043. Go answer our poll question, the Method Flow Products poll question available. Listen, we're having the conversation, so at least this, to me, this shows movement for the Rockies. Will the Rockies make the playoffs this year? Last I checked, over 76% said no, but that's better than the 83% that was up earlier. So you're feeling good about that. We're moving a little bit there.
Tanner must have found a couple extra computers.
I think so. I think he found a few extra computers. I think you're exactly right. Go vote on that one at thewholeshow.com. 76.92% now say no. A little over 23% saying, yeah, sure, why not? Where will David Roddy go? Will he get drafted? He declared for the draft. He made it official. I mean, we knew this, right? Last week, he basically told us that he was, you know, hadn't made the decision yet, but more than likely would see where his name stacked up. And if he's not happy with that, then he's going to come back to CSU. There's no transferring or anything like that. So I think that's a positive. What do you think is good enough for David to say, like, okay, because here's what's going to happen in a roundabout way. And I know I don't have this exactly down. Roddy's going to go to, where did he say? Phoenix? He's going to go to Phoenix and just work out and with people that can really help him out and show him what he needs to be doing and working on. He's going to do that for like 6 weeks. And throughout that process, they're going to gather information as to other players and where he stacks up with the best players in the country. With the top, you know, 60 players in the country. And then they're going to say, ultimately, what did he say, May-ish? Will probably be when they sit down and say, okay, David, based on everything, based on your career at CSU, based on your workouts now, based on the draft, the way it is, based on the other players and the needs of these teams, here's where we think you are. What is the response that leads David back to CSU? Well, obviously, if we don't think you're going to be drafted. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to get drafted. But that's the, you know, we don't think you're going to be drafted. Okay, David would easily come back to CSU. Much different than football. Two rounds. Now, what if they say, David, you're a great player. We don't see you getting taken in the first round. Doesn't mean you can't turn into one. We think you're more of a second rounder, a late second rounder. Does he then look at that and go, all right, I'm still getting drafted? You know, getting drafted and not getting drafted is a difference between, I mean, Jades, can you, what does a second round draft pick in the NBA make? Maybe you can check that out. Be curious. Because again, the difference between that and just signing on 10-day contracts or walk-ons, whatever, will be huge. So if a team comes to him, or if these scouts and these specialists and these advisors come to him and say, you know, we don't think you're first rounder, but you could go in the second, maybe. It's going to be a big, big maybe. Would he risk it? Because once you officially say, I'm entering the draft, I mean, he declared for the draft. Once you enter, you're in. There's no coming back. There's no like, oh, well, you didn't get drafted. Now you're going to come back. So, how bad, I suppose, is the evaluation need to be? I think if he's not, personally, and this is not based on any conversation I've had with David. Personally, oh, we got a caller on the line. Who do we got here?
Brady, how you doing?
Lonster, what's up, my man?
Hey, not much. What about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, first of all, hey, congratulations for having that one player from UNC on yesterday. That was very fun to listen to.
Kumate Kofi, wasn't that a great story?
I'll tell you what, it really was. I mean, it's like, is this what a person has to go through to come to the United States?
Yeah, it's so scary for him, and of course, well, especially for his mother, running around with a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old with bullets whizzing by her head and just on the run for months, years, just to get to safety, and then to find out her kid's name wasn't on the list, and then they have to kind of, you know, kind of play the waiting game there to see what that looks like. So, yeah, crazy story.
It was, especially when you're running, when you got a bunch of axes coming at you, too.
Right.
It's like, whoa.
Yep.
It's like, that's hard to believe. I mean, it really is.
Can't imagine, man. Just can't imagine.
I can't either. You know, you've been talking about the Rockies. I'll tell you what, they're going to have to show me that they can go to the playoffs. I'm not quite sold on it.
The tough part is I think they're going to be improved, but I can't get around the fact that they're not better than the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Braves, the Mets, the Padres, the Cardinals, or even the Phillies at the seventh, if there was a seventh spot. I mean, I can't get past that. I don't think they're better than those. And that's just the top 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. And the way that some of their scores have been here in the exhibition, I kind of wonder about that a little bit. You know, what it's going to look like in the regular season. I mean, if that's going to be that bad in the exhibition, I'm afraid it's going to get scary. And plus, I've been fooled on this thing so many times here.
Well, and April's usually the best month, and they lost a week of April. So, you know, they lost a week of their best month. So you have to be worried about that if you're a Rockies fan.
No kidding, you know. I mean, it's like, whoa.
All right, Lonster, David Roddy, what do you think? Is he coming back to CSU? I mean, if you had to play again, it's all a prediction game here.
You know what? I think he's going to come back.
I'm leaning that way, but again, seeing some mock drafts today, the one I saw today has him going at, let's see here, where was I? 38? And this is, again, hypothetical of where teams would land, but Cleveland, in this prediction, would have traded from the Spurs, and they get a 38th pick in that second round, would take David Roddy.
Uh-huh. You know what? It's going to be interesting to see what happens on this, but I hope I hope they don't pick him. I hope he does come back.
If he doesn't come back, that changes everything about our, you know, what next year looks like. I mean, they're not a shoe-in to get into March Madness. I mean, they're going to be duking it out just to get 20 wins. And I do think Isaiah Stevens and some of these guys are really good, but David Roddy's their best player by far. And he really pulled away, I think, this year from Stevens in a big way. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man? We haven't done this in a while. We got to hit this up.
You know what? Hey, you know what? We got to make up for this. It's been lost time here.
Yes.
Oh, I had homemade pizza and some cherry tomatoes, and it was out of this world.
Homemade pizza? What kind of pizza?
Pepperoni.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to go conventional, man. Don't get too crazy with homemade pizza.
Well, you know what? When the cook's making it, you don't have a choice, you know.
Lonster, have a wonderful weekend. Hey, Final Four, what do you think? How's this going
down? Okay. All right, here's the Lobster's prediction, folks. I mean, you could either take this to Las Vegas or take it out to the street, whichever comes first. How about Kansas and Carolina?
Kansas and so North Carolina takes down Coach K. They send him home packing.
That's right, they do. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like Duke, pack it up. It's been fun watching about Carolina. Let's go do it.
Oh boy, that'd be the upset, right? They're not major upsets. Kansas is favored by 4 over Villanova, and Duke's favored by 4 over North Carolina. So,
But whoever wins this, it's going to be a fun series, no matter what.
Yeah, no doubt, my man. Have a great weekend, okay?
Hey, you do the same. Thanks.
There he is, the Lonster, Lonnie. Great listener getting involved there. Lunch with Lonnie. Got to get that sponsored, Jades. Got to get it sponsored, man. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
So I was able to find out.
What does a second rounder make?
So they usually average league minimum salary, which is still just over $560,000.
So the difference between being drafted in the second and not drafted at all, you'd have to just sign on with the team for a hopeful contract, right? And you're not signing a guaranteed long-term type deal. like a 2-year deal.
It says that first rounders usually average around $1 million.
Well, see, and that's the other question. Those of you that say, "Well, first round, second round, what does it matter?" If David's going to get drafted, he's going to go to the he's going to make sure he officially declares and goes into the draft and enters the draft. I mean, you're talking $500,000, if not more, difference. And for a guy like Roddy at this point, you don't know how well his game transition. You don't know if he's going to be an NBA player for 10 years. So get the money now. And if you and again, if you're told maybe second round, maybe not, you're coming back to improve your stock so that you can get taken in the first round and pop over $1 million.
That being said, though, second rounders are not guaranteed money like first rounders are.
There you go. See, again, that's a big those are big variables. Big variables to look at. If you're Mr. Ronnie. 16 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with our guy, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Nuggets have a big one tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we'll talk to Chris about that. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., is it done? Here we are a week later. We're going to find out. And I would say if Chris says no, they're not coming back this week or next week, it's over. They're not coming back at all. We'll catch up with Chris next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Nuggets have a pretty important game tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we're going to talk to our guy, the one and only Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, about that game and beyond as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. But Chris, I got to ask you the serious stuff first, okay? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Villanova or Kansas?
Oh, yeah. I think, well, Villanova's missing that. Forget his name. They're one of their real major players.
Yeah.
So, Kansas.
For the gambling addicts out there, Kansas is a 4-point favorite. Do they cover that?
You know what? Yeah. You know, I think they will.
I do, too. I'm with you.
Yeah. I think they have enough firepower. I think they'll play enough defense. The thing about Jay Wright's teams, usually, though, they just find ways to not only keep themselves in the game sometimes, but to win those games as well. But the young man who tore his Achilles there right at the end of the Elite Eight game, you know, it's really too bad. It's a major blow to Villanova and, you know, their ability to score. So that's why I'm thinking about that, you know, that line right there. You know, when you take one of your major scorers out, you know, who's stepping up in that respect? And can you now keep up with another team that can really score the ball, especially when they get rolling?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's going to be the fear there. All right, does North Carolina end the dream final season for Coach K? Or, I mean, they've never played each other in the Final Four. Like, this is going to be a heck of a game. I think a heck of a game.
Isn't that amazing to think about?
Right.
I heard that earlier this week, and I thought, is that really real?
I thought it was an April Fool's joke or something.
Yeah, I know. They've never played each other in the tournament. That's crazy, given the enormous tradition of those two teams being in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina, when last we saw them playing Duke, they were smashing them in Cameron Indoor Stadium and really ruining Coach K's final night. In his home building. I think Duke will make good on that one in terms of getting revenge this time around. I mean, they have a better basketball team overall. I mean, talent, when you're just talking about player one through player 13 or whatever it is that they play, Duke has more talent. Now, if they're not going to bring it in the way that they should, you know, obviously North Carolina has not only proven that they can win the game, but they can just blow them right on out. So Duke is going to have to play well. But I think they just have too much top-tier NBA-type talent plus they have the supreme motivation of being blown out at home and to kind of ruin Coach K's last game being head coach there. And they really want to get that back for him. I think they will.
Yeah. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. I'm with you 100% on both of those. Texter here already for you, Chris. Chris, can the Nuggets request not to have Tony Brothers in the playoffs to officiate their games in the playoffs? Wow. What's going on with that, Chris? I've never seen anything like it, man.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, you have these officials, and sometimes they have, when they have conflicts, kind of repeated conflicts with, a particular team, then all of a sudden we're definitely dialed in on every single one of their calls against our team. And so, the Tony Brothers Nuggets thing is, I don't know, it's definitely head-shaking from the standpoint of you wish it weren't the case, or you hope that what you think you're seeing, you're not exactly seeing, but certainly there's a lot of instances where, there's just bad calls and it seems like how on earth is Austin Rivers being ejected from the game for not throwing an actual elbow? Like, right. What is that?
Chris, wasn't it like the Brothers came out and said it was like your intention was to smack him with your elbow? What is this, like Minority Report now, or what? Vanilla Sky, where they predict what's going on? What's happening here?
I know, and that's a really good reference, Minority Report.
Right? Or what was? I couldn't think of the TV show either. But I'm like, so now we got refs that are predicting what guys are going to do. That's great.
Yeah, and just the slightest of fakes, the slightest of like, I might hit you with this elbow. And, they said, well, there was malicious intent. Okay, it seemed to me the only intent there was just to, here's an elbow and back up. And, because let's just look up the definition of malicious.
Right.
All that happened there was, quite honestly, what happens in basketball games everywhere on every level and also in every rec center playground. You have guys trying to get space and trying to get players who want to be, want to play super tight defense off of them. And my gosh, if we had ejections for every player that's ever thrown a fake anything, fake elbow, fake, like, what nobody would play ever, because that's just what that one was a bitter pill to swallow. It really was, because also you have a guy in Lance Stephenson, and we understand what his game is. There's a lot of agitation in his game. There's some quick physicality, and then all of a sudden, when you retaliate, he wants to throw his head back and or fall down or do all those kinds of things. And for an elbow to not have actually been thrown, for no contact to have actually been made, and he didn't really even get throw a real fake elbow. Like, he could have thrown a much better fake elbow,
right,
to get him off of him. For that to end his game was very disappointing.
Oh, no question about it. Frustrating for sure. But the Nuggets, they found a way. What a weird game. They found a way to get that win. They needed that win. And it's looking like, Chris, that they're probably going to lock up at least a playoff spot, flirting with that fifth spot maybe. But tonight's game, we knew it would be big. Minnesota had a tough schedule coming into the week, and unfortunately for them, fortunately for Denver, they haven't handled it as well. And Denver's taken care of theirs this week, beating Oklahoma City, beating Charlotte, beating Indiana. A win tonight almost locks them in top six, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would be four games up on the Timberwolves with four games to play.
Right.
So, then at that point, Minnesota would have to win every single game. Obviously, the Nuggets would have to lose every single game, and then Minnesota would win a tiebreaker. But, effectively, the Nuggets' magic number is two to be able to lock up a top six spot. And then from there, what are you doing to try to even get further up the ladder, as far up the ladder as you can go? It's a big game in that respect. It's a lot less pressure on this game than – we thought maybe even a week ago might be on this game in terms of how close Minnesota was at the time to what they really are now that now that the game has arrived. And so for that respect, it's good for the Nuggets because even if they were to lose this game here today, they still have a two-game cushion on the Timberwolves and still would have to fall apart in the final few games to not be in the top six. So they're in a really nice position here, but they certainly can put that final nail in the Timberwolves' coffin and just make sure that the Timberwolves are definitely playing in the play-in and that they will be in the top six.
Who do you want to face, Chris? I mean, that's the question here. Right now, what would it be? Where's Dallas? Would they be taking on Dallas if they hold on to the sixth spot?
Yeah, so Dallas is in the three spot now.
Okay.
Wow, I mean, what a job Jason Kidd has done with that basketball team. All these spots are so fluid, man. I mean, just like a week ago, it was, you know, Golden State was in that three spot, and then all of a sudden, you have Dallas moving up, you had Utah, and you have all of these teams kind of moving up, and they're all separated by two games. And so what you have is Dallas and Golden State are tied at 14.5 games back. And then you have the Nuggets in Utah, and Utah holding a tiebreaker in that respect. But they're tied at 16.5 games back, but they're all just two games apart from each other. So I think there's a lot of movement that still, I mean, not even think, there is going to be a lot of movement here in the last week of the season. And, so for the Nuggets, it's an opportunity to how high can you go? I mean, you got a couple of games against the Lakers. You got one against the Memphis Grizzlies. You got this one against Minnesota. How many of those can you win and how high can you get? And I don't know which one of those teams would be the best team to face. I think Dallas is a team that most people look at as most vulnerable there, but it's not like Utah has been playing great either. And then you have Golden State, which, if Steph Curry is not back in a meaningful way, they could be vulnerable as well. So I think there's probably a couple of options there for the Nuggets. They've been fairly successful against some of these teams, but they have to take care of business, get themselves in, and I think, for them, just getting in is going to be, the biggest deal. They don't care who they face.
Yeah, it was interesting, though. For the most part, we were all kind of like, oh, okay, they're getting in sixth. For about half a second, there was a scare last week when they dropped to seventh for like a half a day. They got right back, and we haven't worried since. All right, Chris, I ask every week, and I'm starting to feel like it's starting to, the hope is dwindling. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. I mean, is this the last week we asked that question? If it's a no now, is it a no for the rest of the season in the playoffs?
I would have to believe that's the case. Yeah. We're down to four games. They are not playing tonight. So in other words, we'd be saying they would, if any, either one of them were to be available for the next game, it would be three games to go. I think that ship is sailing right now, and the Nuggets are who they're going to be, and we'll see those two players most likely next season. Now, obviously, the Nuggets have not ruled them out, so I mean there is a thing that they have not come out. So in the last week, we've seen a lot of teams rule out a lot of players for the remainder of the season. The Nuggets have not done that with either one of these two. So, I mean, nothing is official, of course, until they say so. But just from the standpoint of, players need time to ramp up, how much time is there to gain chemistry with a basketball team that has played 75 or more games here, with each other, and would have to kind of relearn what it is to play with either one of those two guys in the lineup and what the lineups would look like and roles and all those kinds of things. So I think we're at the point where we can say, okay, we're probably not going to see either one of those two guys and hope that the chemistry that this team has gained and the roles that everybody knows and that they're familiar in can carry them to however far it is that they're going to get in the playoffs.
Well, talk about that the supporting cast for Nikola Jokic. I mean, here's a guy that I think has just been getting better, especially recently, and so much fun to watch. Is Bones Highland as a rookie, Chris? Doesn't it seem like, you would know this way more than me, but when the lights are shining the brightest, doesn't it seem like he's playing his best? And if that's the case, wouldn't that bode well for a nice playoff run for him?
It will. I mean, it could. He's still a rookie, and so we'll see what happens in the playoffs when you know, when team scouting reports, look, he's the backup point guard, and he's already proven on several occasions that he can heat up really quickly from the three-point line. And so any scouting report on him right now is going to, A, he's going to be fairly high up on the scouting report because you don't want him to get going. The Nuggets seem to really play well and win a lot of games when he's up around, even around 12 points, 12 to 15 points. Once he starts getting to those numbers, the Nuggets almost always win. And so when you're an opposing team and you see a player like that, now he's got your full attention. And so now what you are dissecting is just exactly what he does well and what he doesn't do well. And what you do is you take away all of his strengths and make him play to all of his weaknesses. And now for Bones Highland, can you play through your weaknesses, make them strengths, or be effective when teams are taking away some of the things that you want to actually do on a basketball court? And so that's really, when you're talking about evolution of players and, you know, getting to spaces where they're most effective, this is the reason why. Nikola Jokic has already been through it. Jamal Murray has already been through it. You know, you start off in these spaces where nobody knows who you are. Or even if they know who you are, they got to see exactly how you operate on a basketball court. Okay, so now, early in your career, you show that you can do these two things to a very elite level. And so then teams go, okay, well, you're not going to do those two things against us. And so then it's on to the player, it's up to the player, and then to, you know, on a secondary level, the coaching staff, to be able to help the player get to his strengths or to continue to continue to expand his game so that he has more strength on the table. So now if you're taking away A and B, that player can go to his C and D moves or actions and still be just as effective. Bones Highland hasn't gone through any of that just quite yet. You know, this was a whole season of, yes, he can make a bunch of shots. Yes, he can get to the rim. But he started off as not the backup point guard, ending the season as the backup point guard. And then on top of that, on top of learning what it is to run a basketball team, now what he's going to have in the playoffs is a bunch of teams are going to take away his first and second moves, and they're going to step up on him. They're going to step up. They're going to pick him up way down the floor because they don't want him running in threes from the logo. So how will he deal with all those things? In the playoffs, I'm very interested to see. We know he's a gamer, and we know he's not scared, like you just said, of any situation. So he's going to bring it. But can he be effective when these teams really hone in on him?
I really do like, though, all that being said, too, I like watching him with the Joker. Not every play is perfect when they try to get that 1-2 man game going, but You're seeing the makings of it, right? You're seeing it start to slowly work together. I really love it. It's been fun to watch him grow, and I'm looking at it, Chris, for next year. And again, I don't know what's going to happen with the Nuggets this year. I'm hopeful they get past the first round, and then they give it one heck of an effort the second. Who the heck knows? I mean, something crazy could happen. But next year, what do you think about the idea of a Bones Highland and Jamal Murray? Bones at point guard, Jamal Murray at two, which is traditionally where he was at the beginning, and then Porter back in the mix too. What do you think about that future lineup next year?
I think it would be a good one. I think, and maybe I'm actually looking beyond next season, I think they're eventually going to get to that. I do, just because what did Will Barton sign? Like a 2-year deal, I believe it was. I think what's going to probably happen next year is you're going to have the starting lineup probably that you thought you were going to have this year, which would be Jamal, Will, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and then Joker. And then once you get into past next season, or I don't know, even a trade deadline if they wanted to move some players, you will start getting into more Bones into that among those other four guys. But so I think for me, the way I see that, I think we're 2 years away from that, more than just next season away from that. I think next season the Nuggets really want to get to that lineup and all the things behind it that they thought they were going to be able to get to or hoped that they would get to this season to make a real run at the NBA Finals. And then what you're going to start seeing is contracts being up and moves and financial moves having to be made, given the massive amount of money that they're going to be paying to three players. And so I think that's going to create opportunities for players like Bones, who by then will be more than ready to step in to the starting lineup and be very effective. That way, at a contract at that point in time, obviously that would be beneficial for the Nuggets to have on their books. So I think for him, this would be more of a two-year process, but certainly that lineup with him and alongside Jamal and then in the same lineup with MPJ and Aaron Gordon and Joker, that would be a really, really good one.
Yeah, no doubt. The future is bright, and the immediate future is still bright. You know, we're curious to see what Joker can lead this team to in the playoffs. But I think, when you slice this down the middle here, you look forward and go, wow, getting Jamal back, getting MPJ back, and then a growing Bones Highland. My goodness, that lineup could be something special. Chris, what time do you guys get rocking and rolling tonight?
So 6:30 on Altitude Sports is going to be our pregame show, and we're expecting Ball Arena to be pretty well sold out tonight. So it should be a playoff-like atmosphere for this game. Obviously, very important for both teams. And we're getting down to the end here. It's a lot of fun. We're going to get some playoffs pretty soon.
No Timberwolves fans in the stands tonight, too, right? I mean, you got to take them out, Chris. Take them outside.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny, but it's funny that you mentioned that because. You know, there's just a lot of Nuggets fans have to buy the tickets. You know, I mean, I went to the University of Colorado, and when Kansas, when I went there, CU was in the Big 12. And so when Kansas came to town basketball, it was like the gym was almost, it was like a home game for Kansas. At the very least, half of the Coors Event Center was full of Kansas fans. And really, is it irritating? Yeah, but the onus is on the home team's fans. Buy the tickets. Because the opposing team fans are buying the tickets. And so for the Nuggets games, I know they've had a couple here recently where there was a lot of Phoenix fans, and there were a lot of Golden State fans, and it was very irritating for a lot of people, and the Boston fans too. So we've had a lot of those instances here in the last few weeks. But guess what? Nuggets fans have to buy the tickets. Nuggets fans, buy the tickets, get into the game, cheer on your team. Because if you don't, the other team's fans have proven over and over again that they will and make that a dicey home court advantage at best. And so we don't want that at Ball Arena at all.
No question about it, my man. Very well said. Chris, we'll be watching for you tonight, my friend. And, hey, let's see if the Nuggets can grab this one and pretty much lock up that top six spot.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll see. It's been a tough matchup for them all year long. Minnesota's won 2 out of 3.
Yeah. All right, Chris. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. We'll see you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. 41 minutes after the hour. Got a short break coming up. When we do come back, we'll wrap up my final four picks and predictions and things there. And, of course, we'll get to what's on TV. Now let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Seven minutes after the hour. Hey, there's Steve Smiley. Happy birthday to the UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. Great coach, great guy. Do want to get some breaking news, fairly breaking news here, Jades. I mean, not that breaking to us here in the whole show network, but still got to get it out there because it's official. Dalen Kuntz officially is putting his name in the NBA draft and will get evaluated while still maintaining his college eligibility. And as he told us last week on the whole show, it's either that or he's staying with UNC. Dalen, I love the guy. Is he a first or second round guy? Again, according to all the mocks that I'm seeing, no. No, not yet. It's not to say that I don't think he could be. It's just not this year. I just don't see it happening. David Roddy, CSU side of things. I saw 38th maybe. Jabari Walker. Boy, that was a tough one. Parker. Walker will be entering his name into the draft as well. Jabari Walker has announced via Instagram, and I saw another mock draft with him. He's even later in the second. So what will he ultimately do? Here's what he wrote. Jabari Walker wrote, I feel so fortunate for what I've experienced in my two seasons in Boulder and what we've accomplished as a team. After taking some time speaking with my family and with my coaches, I have decided I will be entering my name into the 2022 NBA draft while maintaining my college eligibility. Reaching the NBA has always been a dream of mine, and I plan to pursue that goal with everything I can this spring. Thank you for all your continued love and support. Go Buffs. Test the waters, but I think he'll come back for another year. I think he'll end up coming back. I wouldn't be shocked if we have Roddy, Walker, and Kuntz all coming back. 49 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break, wrap up the show on the other side. I'll give you my final four picks of what's on TV tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. About a minute left here before we get out of here for the weekend. You got Betting Across America coming up. I'm sure they're going to be breaking into all things Final Four. And then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Villanova and Kansas, the first game on Saturday. That is a 4 o'clock game. I like Kansas. I Philly star, one of their stars is out. I do like Kansas to cover. North Carolina and Duke. I think Duke's on a mission right now. They're not going to let what happened about a month ago happen again. So I like Duke, and I also like Duke to cover. So we got minus fours all around. I'm going to go with those Jayhawks, and I think Coach K, I don't know. I don't know how he'll do against Kansas. I hope for that matchup. I think he's going to be great. But I think Duke's going to get to the championship game. We have the Final Four for you right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. That'll do it for me, folks. Good night, Northern Colorado.